I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When I was... Okay, good.
We're started. That's how you're introing this special episode of And Yet Another Thing.
We're here. It's Feast or Famine with us, isn't it?
My name is Maureen O'Connell.
I'm Emma Doran.
And this is the extra bit of the podcast where we talk about something we're reading or watching or listening to. And in honour of the proper, I know the word is bandied about a bit.
Yeah.
But the icon and legend, Tina Turner. We watched the HBO documentary from 2019, Tina.
It is such a good watch, isn't it?
If you've got something to do this weekend, because, you know, you could be sitting there going, oh, it's sunny. And do I want to hear the story? You want to hear this whole story, because even if you've watched What's Love Got to Do with It, there's so much more to her than what is given in that story, because that's obviously herself, a lot of herself and Ike's story.
Yes. And she didn't watch the movie.
No. And she's...
Tina wants you to watch the doc. If you're going to watch something, she wants you to watch the doc.
It's a really funny bit where she's at the Venice Film Festival in the documentary, sitting beside Angela Bassett, who plays her in the movie. And she seems to have nothing, like, really, but she's sitting beside her going, oh, no, I haven't watched the movie. I don't want to see this movie. Are you mad? And Angela's like, oh, I want an Oscar.
I loved how she said that, though. And she sat with that. She didn't try to make it more comfortable for anyone else. But you didn't. It wasn't. It was just her being completely honest. Like, it wasn't a diva move or anything like that. Like, the tone of it. She was just like, I'm not going to watch that. Thanks very much. I lived it. Don't need to watch it.
I thought it was so interesting that when we hear tapes of her, when she gives these interviews, we'll talk about it. She says things that are so profound and they're just off the top of her head.
Yeah.
And you're like, this woman knows things. And she goes back in the documentary to talk about, I am not an educated person. I am a girl from a cotton field.
Yeah.
You know, we picked cotton. We were farmers. And she just has it all. The not just the strength of character.
Yeah.
But the smarts, the intelligence to really know who she is and what she is and everything she's gone through. Fascinating woman.
Oh, yeah. Because even I think the thing that I found so intriguing about her was even when she was going through terrible abuse with Ike, she still knew that she didn't deserve it and that it wasn't right. But she was, I think what makes it very, like, obviously that's her life and she lived it, but the reality was she went in like 15, 16 years.
17, I think, when she finally said, I'm done.
But that's the reality a lot of the time when people are in an abusive relationship. Because she said they started out kind of, it was almost a
family.
A family, like kind of a brother-sister thing. And he was her family and she felt completely safe with him. Mm. And then things started to change. But I just thought it was like, it was just very, it was just very honest the way she spoke about it. Like, because a lot of the time when it's represented on television, I just feel like there is an unrealistic fast turnaround.
Yeah.
Of how things, you know, either like develop and whatever. And I just thought, like, well, no, that's actually the reality of when people are in abusive relationships.
And we should say that a trigger warning, I suppose, that we will be discussing that because it is a huge part of her story, but there is so much more. So,
oh, yeah, there's so much more. It's very uplifting documentary. Like, don't go into it thinking, am I able for this now? What about holiday weekend? You know, I want a bit of, you'll come away from it, like, you'll get a mini skirt on and you'll be lashing the legs around the kitchen.
You'll come away from it going, I am buying the shortest leather dress that I can find and I'm going to wear that leather dress until I am 80 years old. And it's going to be a powerful feminist statement. It's not just totally a fashion item.
Yeah.
She is so brilliant. So the documentary is laid out in five parts. Part one is Tina and Ike. Then we move on to part two. That is family. And that's from that's from 1970. Part three, and there's so much going on in all of this, is from 1978. That is the comeback. Then we go to part four, and part four is the story.
Yes.
And the final part is part five, and it's love. And a lot of people might think, oh God, a woman's story and we have to end on love, but it is so important to her at a stage in her life when she's ready to receive the love that she has deserved and worked for.
Yes.
So let's just talk about this woman. We all know she's from Nutbush and how she met Ike Turner. It was 1957, so she was 17 going on 18.
Yeah, and still at school.
She just sat there watching him every single night asking, can I sing, as he was playing. And eventually the drummer said, yeah, sing. And they were all completely and utterly blown away.
Because I'd say she's a tiny woman. Like, because she described herself as like this frail little thing, you know, like I'd say she was tiny when she was like little 17-year-old.
And when you think of Tina Turner, and it opens with Tina Turner dancing
in
all her different outfits in different eras, and you're like, how? She was never frail. And then you realize that Ike Turner got his hands on Anna Mae Bullock as a little girl.
Completely.
And you mentioned that originally it started as family, but Ike Turner, it had an awful lot of people leave him. So his saxophonist got credit for a song that was all his and people kept taking from him. He's like, well, I'm the star. So that's when he said, I'm making this woman my wife because I will own her then. That's how it changed.
Yeah. And she was saying herself as well, like as a 17-year-old back then living in a small rural area, there was nothing going on. Like you went to school, you went to church.
And both her parents had left the family. Her mom had left and her father had left. And she grew up in a house with, it sounds like, severe domestic abuse as well. So she was always surrounded by it. So they were just left. She was with a cousin and her mother. It reminded me of Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yeah.
You know, she just wanted her mother to come home and she never did.
I think I'd forgotten that detail, or like she never spoke about it too much herself. But about that her mother left, and I know later in life she bought her a house and all that kind of stuff, and she never really talked about the relationship she had, or like the lack of relationship she had with her mother. I find it so interesting compared to, you know, the way now, say with stars, it's very much encouraged to speak about what's your journey or what's your truth, or people want to put like a hook on you or an angle on you or whatever. Not encouraged at the time at all. And she is quite reluctant to speak about stuff. She's not like, she'll be honest and truthful, but she's certainly not kind of going, oh, well, this is when I bring out my whatever story.
Yeah.
Like it's in no way contrived at all.
Because we think of Beyonce, you think of Tina Knowles, her mother's always with her. You think of Taylor Swift, you think of Andrea, her mother's always there. This woman left her, and we meet her mother in the documentary, and Tina says, she wanted my success, but not me. I never got that love from her. And it's sort of intimated that Tina was a product of violence.
Yes.
And her mother probably couldn't confront that either. And Oprah makes the point in the documentary that they were the women, because Oprah spoke about her incredibly violent past and, yes. and the sexual abuse, about they were the first women who actually spoke about it. But they spoke about it in a way that this is what happened to me and we're done now. We move on.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at my mother, even if when I was younger and I tried to tell her about a boyfriend, she's like, okay, we're done with that now. You know, like emotional things.
Know.
It's like, I've said it and we move
on. Do I tell you about the time I said to my mom, we were talking about stuff and I was like, a throwaway comment. I said, oh, sure, look, we probably all should have gone to therapy. Ha ha ha. The daggers I got from my mother. She was kind of like, what? Like, she was just like, what? She took that as a slight against her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was just saying, like, we were having a lovely time, a lovely conversation, and then the atmosphere completely changed. I was like, oh no, I wasn't saying that I was fucked up because you, I was just saying that I should have maybe, I didn't know what to say. I was like,
because there's this element of, our parents would think therapy is to try to fix if there's something wrong.
Yes.
Whereas we know therapy is just going to have a chat and we've got a lot of stuff. It's a good thing for us rather than the continual bottling up to create an Irish society where we're so repressed that we are spinning out of control and we imprison women for living their lives for decades and decades.
And they seem to have this thing as well that you, if there's like a time frame on it. If it was longer than 18 months ago, I should like, it's done now. It's, that's forgot. That's in the past.
My mother, it's a countdown clock. You get the 30 seconds. Do-do, do-do, diddle, do-do, do. You're over it. Great. Okay, move on. That's it.
I mean, I'm not knocking it completely, but I'm just like, I don't know. I'd have to get into a particular zone to be able to function like that.
Why are you dwelling? But you can tell with Tina Turner, and we'll get to it, that it is, okay, I've said my bit now. I've told you everything. Can we move on?
Oh,
she
yeah,
even felt that
time.
Way. But the fact that they could. They go into this, the lead up to her life with Ike.
Yeah.
And the constant touring that she was away for all the time.
Yeah,
we don't hear about any of the kids at this stage. And there are four. Two of his.
I know.
One of hers with the saxophone player and then one of hers and Ike.
We totally brush over that.
Yeah.
I was like, with the saxophone player? I was like, what?
It's, I found the parsing of it with her mother and her father and also her family. She's of a different time. She's like, no, this is,
do you know what it
let the work speak for itself.
The way the kids were referenced and the fact that they would be away for 8 months at a time and whatever, it reminded me, I think it's of its time of that era. It was like Elizabeth Taylor. It reminded me of that kind of thing where these big stars, when they went on tours or they went off to film or whatever, they weren't encouraged to bring their family or bring their kids or
no distractions,
any of that.
No.
The children stayed with the nanny or the child one or whoever it was.
Yeah.
There wasn't, it was, I think the vibe was, if you want to like play in a man's world, you kind of man up.
Yeah.
Was the vibe. Yeah.
And
don't think it was like an option that you could bring your kids with you. Or, you know, like now I'm sure if you're a big star, they'll put your family up in a house and, you know, all that kind of thing. Or they'll
no
like come and visit you or whatever. But
no distractions.
No.
It's
And she
it's
did say something. It was hard like that. She didn't dwell on it, but she did say it was hard like to.
But for anyone who's been, you know, I'm sure there's people who have experienced coercive control, who have experienced domestic abuse, who have experienced emotional abuse. Everything she talks about, without the vocabulary that we have today, that was what was happening.
Yeah.
She asked at one stage, like, what's that thing when you're kind of being brainwashed? And the interviewer says, brainwashing. She said, oh yeah, so I was brainwashed. We'd call that gaslighting today.
Yes.
Because he beat her so badly when she was pregnant. That was the first real huge beating she talks about.
Yeah.
And trying to keep it all hidden. And he raped her. And she didn't say, she never said raped. She always said, and then he screwed me. Because that wasn't, first of all, in Ireland, marital rape was never a thing.
No.
Until, you know, the 90s. That's when it actually became, you know, it was illegal. So she would have been in a marriage where, well, he's a husband. He was allowed to do this at the time.
I know.
And she says something that I was so shocked by. I didn't know that he used to put her vagina, wrap a hanger around her vagina, and she would be in so much pain, and then he'd rape her. As though everything of her belonged to him. That her vulva, it has nothing to do with you, it's mine, I can do whatever it is to you. The way he separated her from her own body.
Yeah.
She had no friends.
No.
Kept her separated, kept her working. The only thing that she liked was being with her children and being in her room where she could get away from him.
Yeah.
I know. Shocking.
When she was talking about it, you could see she wasn't she wasn't exaggerating any part of it, and she wasn't simplifying any part of it for effect. You could tell that it was just her in her room, her with her kids,
and that was it. She does this big People magazine interview that is used throughout. It's not chronological.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is in 1981. Her manager, Roger, who sort of changed her life, she says.
Yeah.
Convinced her to do this, to be like...
I really liked him.
Really liked him. She loved him.
Went to see her first in, was it Vegas?
He was managing Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, yes.
And Olivia Newton-John was doing a TV special, Hollywood at Night or something.
Yeah.
And she wanted strong women to sing on this, and she asked Tina Turner, and Tina was like, come see me, you know, I need a new manager. And he went to see her in San Francisco where she was doing Cabaret.
Oh yeah, it was Cabaret. Yeah, I knew it was some sort of like whatever.
And he was like, this is absolutely awful. And then he's like, she did two shows a night, and he waited for the 9 o'clock show.
Oh, the later show. Yeah.
And he was like, they had a bit of alcohol in them. They were all up on tables. And I was like, this woman is unbelievable.
And she got a bit looser as well with her own performance, didn't she?
Children there, because there was a dinner show and there was children there, and she let loose. Also, alcohol. It gave Tina Turner her career, her second career.
Yeah, well.
Loosen it. Get that audience liquored up.
In comedy, you look at a time, they were starting at 7. That's very early on Friday. Give them a chance. Give them a fucking chance to get a few drinks into them.
I was at your show, we probably gave them a little bit too long.
I mean, the perfect amount of drinks is 3.
Yes. Everyone feels good with 3.
Yeah.
And then slowly goes.
Then when you're getting after 5, then that's what happens then.
Mortgages.
Yeah, exactly.
So how Tina explains this, she's 23 years old, living with this man who's continually beating her, raping her, secluding her from everyone, and cheating on her.
Yes.
She says, I was afraid of him and I cared about what happened to him. I knew if I left, there was no one to sing. I was caught up in guilt and fear.
Yeah.
And isn't that what happens to people in these relationships?
Yeah.
Where that question, why didn't you leave him? I've never lived this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine feeling those two conflicting moments, knowing that your children are seeing this all the time, knowing that you've been beaten black and blue and raped, and still having these feelings?
I think even like in a regular, inverted commas, or whatever that is, like a normal relationship where people have been with each other for decades and built a life and all that, it's incredibly difficult for people to leave. But then in that situation as well, and you have the guilt and the shame, and she obviously feels a huge amount of loyalty to him, because, mm-hmm. you know, she wasn't Tina Turner. She wasn't singing until she met him. She met him at a very young age, and then they have this kind of blended family, and the whole thing, like any family, it all moves and operates because all these different parts are together. Okay, loads of the parts are absolutely fucked up, but that's still how the thing works.
So
you could kind of, in a way, you can understand her mindset, or how somebody would find themselves in that mindset, that it would make sense. And change is very... is not an easy thing.
It's hard, but she's so caught up.
And she's no supports.
No.
She probably doesn't really, she's no real access to the money, even though she's like the money maker, but she's certainly not the money manager.
She got an allowance from him. She didn't have access to any of the bank accounts. But the more you heard that question, I think in the 90s and noughties and maybe earlier on in the 10s, why didn't she or he just leave them? They can't. The more we're understanding about the manipulation and the control that goes on behind the scenes, the more you're like, there wasn't a hope in hell. But people started to see her going, right, this is the same old thing. They were successful, but they hadn't had a huge hit. And it was Phil Spector. The murderer, Phil Spector of the Wall of Sound.
Yeah.
It was like, this woman is something else. And they record, he brings her to record River Deep, Mountain High.
Yeah. And when that came on the documentary, I was like, oh yeah, here we go. That's where she leaves.
That wasn't a hit in America.
It was news to me.
They didn't like River Deep, Mountain High. It was too black for white people and too white for black people.
It sounds so American to me though.
It does, but it was a huge hit in Europe.
Yeah.
Huge in Europe. And
don't understand.
And in that part of the documentary, you're like, this is where she gets out. You're not paying attention to the dates. You're like, she's going to go.
I know.
We're in the 60s here.
It's all leading up to that, isn't it?
She has another 11 years with the man.
I know.
After River Deep. Yeah. Because when it didn't become a hit in America, Ike was like, I've still got you. I control you. It doesn't work. Yeah, don't try to get away from me. You're not better than me.
Doing something different with somebody else.
And it was just unbelievable.
That was quite depressing, now I have to say. I really thought, I was like, oh yeah, this is where she leaves and whatever.
And no, she doesn't.
No.
And they keep on working. And she said she felt an obligation to give Ike a hit. So she's working hard for this abuser.
I know.
So tied up. And in 1971, what comes along? Big wheel, keep on turning. Burning. Massive hit, their biggest hit. That's it, they're top of the charts.
I don't know how many videos I have in my phone or my drive of that song kicking off at a party or a wedding. And you see people like nibbling on like a bit of bread, just going, I think, will we go? Or, you know, don't mind the babysitter. And then that starts like, oh, sorry, I have to go on. Go and dance with the gang for this. Like, you have to.
You have to go.
You have to. Like, even if you're in like the midst of labor, like, no, you think you're leaving. Like, you have to.
Baby.
Yeah.
If your legs are high, or if you're breech, you gotta wiggle the legs for Proud Mary.
Child, throw that child aside. Yeah, you have to.
So that's 1971. And as she said, I was loyal to Ike, but I hated him.
Yeah.
And he was mute in interviews. So they become these huge stars. They're on all the Johnny Carsons, everything like that.
Yeah.
And she's so funny and interactive.
She is such
and playful.
A devil though, isn't she? Because she kind of gives him a little bit of a slagging and stuff as well. And I was like,
I was like, you're going to pay for that when you go home.
Yeah, I know.
Like, she started kind of slagging him about, sure he doesn't know anything. And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, the ladies love him. And I watched a few extra interviews and I was like, she really went for him.
Yeah.
But it was their one place he couldn't hit her.
Yeah, and he just sat there. But then she said that was to do with his own insecurities and stuff.
Yeah.
That he didn't feel, if he was in an environment that he didn't feel comfortable in or whatever, he shut down a bit. Whereas she said she just...
Yeah. And if she didn't perform, she would have been punished as well.
Yeah.
So it's just crime and punishment with them continually. Yeah. It's all stick, no carrot.
Yeah.
The only carrot is herself going, there's this loyalty that she has.
Yeah.
It didn't even feel like it was trying to please him, but it was just...
When was the part when she said... What was the time frame on? So she felt like this loyalty to him, and then something changed and it just turned off and she didn't.
So
she didn't care anymore. She said
there was multiple suicide attempts.
Yeah.
And the suicide attempts led to further violence.
Yeah.
Because she talks about one suicide attempt in it. We go to an interview with Ike from the 2000s.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He blames her suicide attempts. Oh, you know, a bit of an attention thing. And she didn't like my womanizing. Not acknowledging that he is kicking the absolute shit out of the woman.
Yeah.
And
then he kind of asks them to start it again or whatever, doesn't he? Because he's like,
it's like he's trying to watch his words, but he's not watching his words at all.
Yeah.
And
let me rephrase this. Let me start again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's when she shut off after that, didn't, because she was like, well, he's not, there's no.
She kind of shut down because he brought someone into her life. Her name was Valerie Bishop. And she was like, I don't know where Ike found this woman.
Oh, yeah.
And she was a chanter. And Tina found Buddhism. And I swear to God, lads, when I watched this bit in the documentary,
yeah,
I almost went on becoming a Buddhist. She really said, like, I was like, look at how it changed this woman's life.
Yeah.
And it is about manifesting and chanting. And she really believes in that spiritual energy of the world. And she gives herself over to it.
Yeah.
Buddhism. And then she starts chanting in the documentary. And I think I watched that like 5 times, just listening to her chant.
Okay, yeah.
And that's when it's sort of like she's like, I suppose it is a transcendental thing, but she kind of separated from herself. She's like, I didn't care. So I started fighting back.
Yeah.
And she kind of puts up with it for a little bit. She puts up with it for a little bit longer. But she starts telling him to fuck off.
Yeah. And when she's gone, she's gone. That's, I thought, was so powerful.
The story of her leaving.
Yeah, because it can be so hard for people to, like, break free or whatever. And she just, wasn't she saying that she went out on the road to find, like, the nearest hotel. And all she remembers is kind of, like, lights from...
A truck.
Trucks.
She was on a freeway.
Yeah, but she was obviously kind of having some sort of like awakening moment as well, where all her senses felt heightened. And she said to the hotel, I don't have any money.
She gave them my name.
Yeah, my name's Tina Turner, like I'm Goodford or whatever. But and then that was it. She never went back.
She went into hiding. Yeah. When she's telling her story of getting away from Ike, because she's had another beating, but everyone has seen it this time.
Yeah.
Because they were in a car and she was meant to be doing a show. My heart was going 90 and I really felt like I was in bed and I wanted to jump up and start cheering. It was like, you know, a plane of Americans when the plane lands on time. Yeah. They're all like, yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, oh my God.
I know,
yeah. Then you realize it was 17 years. 17 years, this woman. More than 17, because that was, you know, their married time, yes, or whatever. And you're kind of sitting there going, how the hell has she done this? And next thing, she's like, people are like, well, she's 38, so she's washed up. You're sitting there going, she's Tina Turner. And we're getting ready for the Tina Turner that we all know to start coming out. Wasn't that such an amazing, uplifting, yes. I hate to, you know that, but it was crazy uplifting.
I had no idea that it had been so... That she had spent so many years with him.
No, you don't think of it as being that long that he had that control over her.
And you nearly put it in the same bracket as kind of like, you know, Sonny and Cher. You know what I mean? Like you're just like, oh yeah, no, they were together and then, you know, they broke up and they went out on their own. Yeah, yeah, grand, grand, grand. But like she was with him a lifetime.
Yeah, a whole lifetime.
Yeah.
Like what a lot of people have, an incredibly long relationship. And then she had to do all these cabaret shows and it was kind of demoralizing.
He didn't give her any money.
No, that's a really powerful part in the movie. She's like, fine, I don't want to fight for anything. He got all of the money, he got all of the houses, all of the cars. He got her clothes, he got her furs, he got everything. The only thing that she asked for was her name, Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Because he had given her that name. He changed her name without her knowing it to Tina originally. And she was like, I want my name. And he fought her for the name. And
how did he get everything?
She didn't fight. She was like, I want away from this man. Because she'd gone into hiding.
Right. So she was like, give him everything.
Yeah. She started the divorce proceedings while she was in hiding.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing.
I want to be clean out of this.
Yeah. And then her manager was like, okay, she needs to make money. She's got to pay for her kids.
Yeah.
And this is the bit where you're kind of sitting there going, oh, this is a years long process to become What's Love Got to Do with It, Private Dancer, Simply the Best Tina Turner.
Yes.
Because she was gone. She was a joker.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments.
Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On the cabaret scene around America.
Yeah.
And even they do this montage of the stuff that she's like, you know, I couldn't get anything. And I'm like, they're such iconic performances.
I know. Or the little, like the door trying to get her bits of telly. And
yeah. She did the Brady Bunch variety hour, you know, dancing away with them at the background. You're kind of sitting there going,
working like a bleeding maniac.
Unbelievable. Like, there is no Beyonce today or Katy Perry or Lady Gaga without Tina Turner.
No.
And you're sitting there going, and she had to do all this donkey work. And it was when she met her manager in 1979, Roger Davies, this Australian guy who just seems so lovely.
I know. Wouldn't have paired them together at all.
No, they both saw something in each other. He had to be convinced, because he was like, well, she's 40 years old. She's a woman with, what am I going to do with a 40-year-old? Yeah. This is the bit where my shorts are getting shorter by the second.
I know.
Because this is when Tina Turner, it's called a comeback in the documentary. And Tina Turner says, this wasn't my comeback. This was my debut. I was Tina Turner for the first time. And I was like, oh my God.
Yes. Because it's not like, that's the thing that I kept reminding myself when I was watching it. It's not that she came to it later, you know. It's that she started when she was a kid. And she never stopped, but it took her that long.
Yeah.
Which is really refreshing, because usually it's a case of people start late, or you know what I mean? If it takes that long.
Yeah.
But no, she was doing it the whole time.
The whole time. But the most successful and her happiest part of her life is the second part of her life. And it is very much one of these things that you're like, oh.
And this, I mean, the songs, the music changed.
Mm.
But she didn't actually change at all.
She was always rock and roll.
Yeah, she had a few different hairdos and whatever. But her persona, her dancing, her stage presence, all that, that's all. Obviously, I mean, she honed and crafted over years. But she was like, Tina was still Tina. She was just waiting for other people to like get on board with it.
But she had to wait. That's the thing. He takes her on. She's 40 years old. And they get this record deal. And someone takes over the record label, which is Capitol Records. And the guy who gave her the record deal gets a call, and it just says, oh God, what a, you signed this old racial slur douchebag about Tina Turner. Get her off the roster, but he convinces to keep her. And Roger's like, let's get the hell out of America. Let's get to London. This is where you need to be. They're doing exciting things. So it's 1983. She gets to London. And guess what, ladies? She has a haircut. She was like, old Tina, gone. That hair, I'm gone. It's amazing what a haircut does. People slag us about a breakup and going, getting fringes and getting hair colors. But it really does help you to change how you feel.
Because then when I saw that haircut, I was like, oh yeah, that's the Tina hair. I was like, yeah. I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah. And she was like, I needed to get rid of the clothes. I needed to get rid of that hair. And I just needed a whole new revitalization. So when you are going through something really hard and you want to make over, it matters.
Yeah.
It matters.
Just don't get a fringe.
Don't get a fringe.
Like, do whatever suits you. You know, look after yourself and all that, but just don't get a fringe.
And then there's a song that's been recorded by Eurovision stars Bux Fizz.
Oh my God.
The song is What's Love Got to Do With
It? Who saw that coming?
I mean, I think we've heard it now since her passing that was a thing. And then I listened to the Bux Fizz song. Jesus, it's got nothing to do with Tina Turner's song, does it?
But like, Bux
Fizz, we're knocking around for a good, because you think like, oh, it's just the one song, the Eurovision. And then you constantly see these things, these clips come up from, you know, back in the day, da da da. And then you're like, oh, there's Buck Fizz. There they are again. What are they doing now? What's going on?
You see Cheryl Ferguson on things.
Yeah, you do.
You do.
You used to a bit more like, what, 20, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
I think she needs to pop up again. I'm just saying that.
I know. But. Didn't see much of her during the Eurovision. Thought there would have been stuff going on yes. there in Liverpool.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, we had a lot of Sonia, not so much Buck Fizz. Love a bit of Buck Fizz.
Yeah.
So should have been there. Basically, Private Dancer, the album, it took 2 weeks to record and it sold 20 million copies. Tina Turner is 44 years old, having the most success she has ever had in her entire life.
I know.
And she plays to the biggest audience a solo artist has played to, 186,000 people in Rio. And she had always said that I am going to be playing to the crowds that the Rolling Stones played to. And she did. Stadiums all over the world.
Yeah, how they said the tour was like 18 months long or something.
Yep. 250 something venues. Yeah. She just went for it. She is an absolute workhorse. And then you move along to when all this is happening. She had been in Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome.
Yes. Incredible. She looked
which
incredible.
Is so good. She was so brilliant in that. I remember watching it. But when she's on that press tour, Ike Turner keeps on being brought up, keeps on being brought up, keeps on being brought up. And she's like, I don't want to talk about him anymore. And he's brought up in one interview. She's with a young Mel Gibson. And she's like, and Ike has just been arrested on drugs charges. She's like, oh, well, I wish I was hearing his name because he had a new record or something.
Yeah.
And Mel is like sitting there and his face is, oh, geez, I want to be anywhere but here.
I know. Lizzie, I never thought I'd say it, but I felt sorry for Mel, the way he's just sort of.
I was sitting there 30 years later. This is going to be you, babes. This is going to be you. It was so weird.
Strange. But anytime he came up Ike's name in interviews or whatever, she always dealt with it very well.
Yeah, incredibly well.
Yeah.
But she wanted it to be over.
And yeah, she was done. She was done being asked about it and talking about it. And
that's when her manager, Roger, said, there's this guy, incredibly talented journalist. He wants to do an autobiography. And she said, okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it all. Lay everything on the table. And then I will never have to speak about this again.
Yeah. That's why she went into it. That's what she 100% thought was going to be the outcome.
She did I, Tina, 1991. By 1993, it's turned into the film, the iconic film where Angela Bassett should have won the Oscar.
Yeah.
What's Love Got to Do with It? And then Tina's like, and then they wanted even more. They wanted to talk about him even more. And from her generation, much like we said, I've said my bit. There's no much more to say. I've given you everything you wanted.
And the fact that I've said it should be enough for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, of course, the interview. And she wasn't doing like, she was doing a bit of press, but not all press. And you could see she's having a hot flush in an interview. And she's like, can I have my fan? Like, she's going through the menopause. And she's like, you're asking that question? And, you know, people can be like, oh, a bit testy. You're like, this woman has had to talk about this man since she was 17 years old.
She is done. She's done. She had to like go into hiding to get away from.
Yeah. The hot flush in the middle of the interview. And you're like, and you also see it interspersed of clips of her wearing the shortest, sexiest skirt and the high heels. I'm like, oh my God, menopause is sexy. I just feel so much hope. I feel so much hope for my life.
You've got the legs as well.
Everyone has the legs. Body positive.
Yeah.
Come on. Everyone has legs has legs.
Do you know what? Her age never, no one ever actually spoke about her age.
No, they did. There was a lot of age. Yeah. Like, why have you signed this old douchebag?
I don't remember people ever talking about her age or it being like an issue or.
No, I think it was parsed at the time of what age she was.
Yeah.
But then she was just Tina Turner.
Yeah.
And she brought out Simply the Best and everyone's like, okay, let's shut up about that now. And we get to all of this and then finally we get to Love.
Mm.
And she met her now husband, Erwin.
Yeah.
In a Dusseldorf hotel. When I think romance, I think Dusseldorf. An industrial town in Germany. How beautiful.
It just seems very nice and sweet. And it just seems like two equals. Two people like, you know, coming together to care for each other.
Yeah.
It just all seems very nice and sweet.
He wasn't intimidated by her. And she says, she talks about love. She wanted a man who was strong. She wanted a man who did wear the trousers, who did the business and stuff, but that did not dominate me.
Yeah.
And that's what she was like. He was the most beautiful man that I've ever seen. And then he came to Florida and I said, when we get to LA, you're going to make love to me. And in his very German way, I'm sure he said, yes, I will do that, Tina Turner. He's so cute.
And where did they end up living? Was it Switzerland?
They live in Zurich.
Okay, yeah.
They moved to Zurich, and she always said, I watched a lot of interviews. She was like, I was always accepted. In Europe, they always loved me. America, she said to Larry King, I pay my taxes in America. Don't worry, I pay my taxes here. But my home is Europe. And that's where they have always accepted me more for who I am rather than my past.
Yeah, so she was happy to kind of
live
there.
And she says, Irwin says when they talk to him, and you realize he's in the background of her whole interview.
Yeah.
Darling, how long did it take us to get married? He's like, 27 years after they met.
Yeah.
So just telling you, I've got another 20 to go before I get married. So that's absolutely fine. We're on the 20 year countdown.
No rush,
me and Tina Turner, same thing. And when they ask Irwin about their love, he says, well, you know, I feel an electrical charge in my heart. I feel very warm about this. And I just thought, it's such an effusive and beautiful sentiment, but said in such a logical, Germanic way.
What would an Irish fellow say? An Irish fellow say,
ah, she's grand.
She's grand.
She's grand.
On a push, if he was a couple of pints in, he might say, I'm mad about her.
I'm mad at that.
Mad about her.
That would be it.
Yeah, and good day.
And then they'd have to slag straight away and go, she makes a great fry.
Yeah.
That would be it. And that's what Tina was like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fine with that. And we get to see inside their beautiful Zurich home.
It's lovely.
Yeah, I want to see that in Architectural Digest. And then it's all about how she bows out. And she's like, how do you bow out slowly from this life that I've had?
Yeah, and she was ready to though. She was just like,
She was done. In like
in terms of public, Tina.
Yeah.
She felt like, I've done enough for you now.
I've done enough. And that was the musical, the Tina Turner story is kind of the last time she really said hello in public.
She went out to say hello. But what I thought was I was like, God, it's still following her around. When she went out on stage was an actor, obviously dressed, playing the character of Ike. Yeah. And he looked exactly like him.
Yeah. He really did.
And I was like, God, so what age would she have been then? She was 79 or something.
79, 80, yeah.
Yeah. Going up to kind of go out on stage for Tina Turner the Musical. And I was like, that's...
What a way you see to come this full circle. And the way she acknowledged her story and that it is very much in separate parts.
Yes.
And that she feels like different people all the time. And it was interesting that she wasn't sort of the family bit of it. The Ike bit is such a huge part.
Yes.
But then she was never really talked about in terms of her children. You know? And whereas nowadays it's, how do you do it all? The kids.
I know.
And that was like, no, that's separate. We don't go there.
It's so strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the fact you're just kind of looking at it going like, what was her
Because you'd be at all the time. How do you come up with a joke? And
what's your kids?
Have three children.
What do your kids think about you doing comedy?
Yeah.
Or like, what do any kids think about their parents' job? Like, it's not.
How do you feel about those questions?
They're really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
But you're trying to be nice to the person because the person's just doing their job.
But the element is, as the person who does the job, and I very much rail against, can we stop just asking women about their kids? It drives me insane.
Yeah.
And when I first started, men were not asked at all the same. They are now.
No, never. Yeah.
But they weren't. And it's sort of, well, no, they put this up on Instagram with their kids. I'm like, so? Like.
Yeah, I do. It depends on the day. Like most times if somebody asks me a question like that, what do your kids think? Whatever. You know, in my head, I was like, for fuck's sake. But I usually will say some sort of fucking answer about, you know, because obviously they have to get it done. But like,
give us your stock answer.
Okay, let me think what it is. What do the kids think about you doing comedy?
Oh, sure, they don't care as long as there's crisps in the press and something like that, maybe.
So basically, she's grand. They're grand, yeah.
They don't give a shite.
They don't give a shite.
Do your kids care what you're doing now?
Mine do. They care so much.
What are you going to tell people about them?
How do you... I'll tell them soon. How... Overall, this was meant to be 20 minutes. We've gone way too long over this because I just thought this documentary was...
No, but it deserves so fascinating. The time. Yeah, no, she deserves the time, definitely.
I would highly recommend anyone watch this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely so brilliant. And for people who are in that situation, not in that situation, it gives an understanding that I maybe hadn't had before. And it is so hopeful because we live in a world where if you're not 27, fuck off, you're over the hill.
Yeah.
And when you reach my age, you're like, am I getting fired today? Am I getting fired? Is it today? And you're like,
yeah. Oh, it's never too late to do it's never too late to do anything. I'm not comparing myself to Tina Turner now at all. Don't worry. But like I did my first stand-up gig when I was 29 and I thought I was too old.
Yeah.
So I started to because I wanted to do it, but I never thought that's going to be a job one day or whatever. And the odd time now I might get a woman messaging me going, oh, I'd love to try stand-up, but wouldn't whatever. And I'm like, just go and do it.
Yeah. Try it.
It doesn't. The age thing is only, I think, a thing if you make it an issue.
Yeah.
In terms of you wanting to do what you want to do and explore like dreams and creativity and all that kind of thing. I think she's a good.
She's amazing, but age is wrapped up in self-doubt, fear.
Yeah.
And the perceptions of what society is.
It's a nice, handy societal excuse that we give ourselves, because obviously as well it's lovely to be able to give yourself a get out, because even I know myself sometimes I won't want to do things because I'm like, oh, that's going to be a lot of hassle with the kids. What am I talking about? I'm not going to be there, my partner's going to be doing that, so actually it's not, because I'm going to be working.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
So there's actually, whatever this line about that's going to be a lot of hassle with the kids isn't actually a real thing. That's you just making excuses.
It is harder for people who are single parents, to be fair.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And I've done that side of it, and I totally get that as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's
means and money, but there has to be something in the world where you... where you feel, I just got to give this a go because I'm going to be dead soon.
Yeah, and I think even you can make it, sometimes you can do it in a way that works for you and whatever your circumstances are at the time.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes it can be hard to do things that are like purely for yourself when you are absolutely fucking broke.
Yeah.
You have no childcare.
Yeah.
But, sometimes you can find a way, even in the smallest thing, to like fill your heart with a little bit of your own internal joy that fills you up.
You deserve it. Get a fill up. Get a fuel injection.
And if all else fails, whack on a bit of Tina and just get into your knickers in the kitchen, I would say.
Jesus, show off all the legs. My Jesus
and just give it welly.
All dressing up as Tina Turner at some stage this year. I love her. The Tina documentary is by HBO. You can find it on various streamers and services online. Tina Turner, we love you. Thanks for listening to And Yet Another Thing.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.